For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah, house of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 20 of the series.
Now we're going to look at the book, The Messiah Texts, by Raphael Patai on page 181. The heading for chapter 19 of the book is the ingathering, meaning the ingathering of the exiles, and the return of the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord. So it says, one of the great themes of the messianic cycle is that of the Kibbutz Galiot, the ingathering of the exiles from the four corners of the earth. Ever since the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Romans in the year 70, Jews pray three times a day for the ingathering of the exiles, which is associated with the final redemption. And closely associated with it is the understanding of the 10 tribes who were exiled by the Assyrians in 721 BC, that these tribes will be gathered by the Messiah to the land of Israel, along with Judah. Now, from the Sanchino, which is an Orthodox Jewish published work, to the Midrash Rabbah, and that is the teachings of the rabbis on scripture. Volume 7, page 105, it says, when the children of Israel were exiled, the Shekinah went into exile with them. We can also see the same principle mentioned in the Talmud in Megillah 29a, as it says, it has been taught that Rabbi Simon, son of Yohai, said, come and see how beloved are Israel in the sight of God, and that to every place to which they were exiled, the Shekinah went with them. They were exiled to Egypt, and the Shekinah was with them, as it says, quoting from 1 Samuel 2:27, did I reveal myself unto the house of your father when they were in Egypt? So this is interpreted to be the Shekinah. Continuing, it says, and when they will be redeemed in the future, the Shekinah will be with them, as it says, and it's quoting now Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 3. Then the Lord your God will return with your captivity. In the Hebrew, it does not say, he shall bring back, but he shall return. This teaches us that the Holy One, blessed be he, will return with his people from the places of exile. So we see in Psalm 102, verse 16, when the Lord builds up Zion, he will appear in his glory. Well, Jerusalem and Zion are synonymous terms in the scripture. So the building up of Zion is the same as the building up of Jerusalem. In Psalm 147, verse 2, it says, when the Lord builds up Jerusalem, he gathers together the outcasts of Israel. So the building up of Zion is the building up of Jerusalem, which is the gathering of the outcasts of Israel, the exiles of Israel. So when the Lord, that is the Messiah, gathers the outcasts of Israel, he will appear in his glory. So the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is the glory of the Lord. We can see this in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them, and by night night in a pillar of fire. So they were led by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. We can see from Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, that the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is called the glory of the Lord. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That the cloud is the glory of the Lord, and the tent is the tabernacle. So we can see that the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is the glory of the Lord from Exodus in chapter 24, verses 16 and 17. And the glory of the Lord abode. The word in Hebrew for abode is shekad, from which we get Shekinah, the abiding presence. The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. So in that verse, the cloud is called the glory of the Lord. Verse 17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire. And so the sight of it is a fire, and the glory abode, and the cloud covered the mount. And so the glory of the Lord is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. We are told in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, that Yeshua is the glory of the Lord. And Revelation 21 is describing, beginning in verse 9, the New Jerusalem. So in describing the New Jerusalem, it says, and the city, this is Revelation 21, 23, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So the glory of God lights the New Jerusalem, and the Lamb is that light. So Yeshua, the Lamb, is the glory of the Lord. So Yeshua is the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, that led the children of Israel out of Egypt, which is a pattern for us to understand regarding him doing it as well at his second coming in the greater Exodus. Just as he did lead the children of Israel out of Egypt by the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, he will gather his people, the exiles who are scattered in the nations of the world, and he will bring them back to the land of Israel during the 3.5 years of the great tribulation in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and the leaders of each camp around the world are going to be the 144,000. The 144,000 are the Moses leaders. So in Luke, in chapter 21, when the disciples are with Yeshua on the Mount of Olives, then they ask him, and this is also connected with Matthew in chapter 24, what's the sign of your coming? And they said this in Luke 21, verse 7. What sign will there be when these things will come to pass? So they ask of Yeshua a sign of his return. Well, what he ends up doing is he gives signs of the sign. These are the signs that are indicating that the sign is coming. And so the signs are wars and rumors of wars and etc., as is detailed not only in Luke 21, but in Matthew chapter 24. So after Yeshua explains the signs that are an indication of the sign, it says in Luke 21, verse 27, then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So in Matthew, it says he comes with clouds, plural. That's because Yeshua is coming in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Not one cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, but multiple cloud by days and pillar of fire by night. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is called the glory of the Lord. So he's not coming in glory with one cloud. He's coming with multiple cloud by days and pillar of fire by nights. He's coming in great glory, and he's coming in great power. So then after Yeshua said he's going to be returning in great glory, he then says in Luke 21:28, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so to a Hebrew mind, the redemption is the end of the exile. What is said about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt is they were redeemed out of Egypt. And so whenever they return from the lands of their captivity, they are redeemed from their exile. So when Yeshua says your redemption draweth nigh, he's talking about the end of the captivity of his people in the nations of the world. And so What did Yeshua link the redemption, the end of the captivity of the nations of the world with? That he's coming in clouds and great glory. And so we can see this principle in Isaiah chapter 4 in verses 5 and 6. It says, the Lord will create. Will create is future. Upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Every means more than one. And so the collective name of the various dwelling places in this verse is called Mount Zion. He will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies, plural, a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. And so the different assemblies are called Mount Zion, and he is going to create on each assembly a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory, that's because the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is called the glory of the Lord, for upon all the glory shall be, and it says in Hebrew, a huppah. A huppah is a wedding canopy. That is because the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel is likened to a wedding, in the joy of a wedding. And then it says in Isaiah 4, 6, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and a place of refuge and a covert from storm and from rain. See, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is going to be a place of refuge from the beast, his mark and his image, and the number of his name. And so we can further see in the scripture that the exiles of Israel are gathered by the glory of the Lord, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Isaiah 35 verse 2, they will see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. So what's associated with seeing the glory of the Lord? Isaiah 35 verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come to Zion. So the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel is likened to a song and to joy. And so they're going to come with songs, and they will obtain joy and gladness. We can see this in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That's the great tribulation. But the Lord will arise upon you. His glory will be seen upon you. So the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, could be seen by those who are standing in a distance. So now with the defeat of Gog and Magog, it says in Ezekiel 39 verse 21, I will set my glory among the nations. Verse 22. So the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. They will know that who is the Lord their God? That Yeshua is the Messiah. When he gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel, they will recognize and know that he is the Messiah of Israel. This is why Yeshua prayed in John chapter 17, verse 21, that they might be one. That is the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel. As you, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world would believe that you have sent me. So his people will know that he's the Messiah, and the nations will know. Because it says in Ezekiel 39, 23, and the nations will know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies, so they fell by the sword. So now it's going to link with setting his glory among the nations with the end of the captivity of Jacob, the end of the exile. Ezekiel 39, 21, I will set my glory among the nations. What is linked with setting his glory among the nations? Ezekiel 39, 25, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel. And so the end of the exile is associated with the Messiah gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And so when the Messiah gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel, ends their exile, their captors will no longer rule and reign over them forever and ever. Messiah is going to set up his kingdom on the earth, teaching the Torah to all nations. Israel will be the head of all nations. And so the purpose of Messiah ending the exile of his people is that in doing so, he will be glorified and he will be sanctified, and his name will be sanctified with his people and among the nations. And in the Art Scroll to Genesis, Art Scroll is an Orthodox Jewish commentary, volume 2, page 1909, making a reference to 1 Chronicles 17, verse 21, it says, "Your nation Israel, a unique nation in the world." Well, the word translated as unique is ahad, which means one. Your nation Israel, one nation in the world. Well, if we look at the Hebrew word ahad, it consists of the first letter aleph, and then we have the het and the dalet. And so the last two letters equal 12. And so we have dalet is 4, het is 8, and so that's 12. And this represents the 12 tribes of Israel. Then you have the aleph plus 12, because the numerical value of ahad is 13. And so Aleph represents the God of Israel. So you got the God of Israel being one with his people. And Aleph is the letter that represents one in Hebrew. And so you have the 12 tribes united, or the 12 tribes at one with the Messiah. And that's what Echad is. And a united Israel bears God's glory on the earth, but a divided Israel, and Israel not following the Torah of the one who gave the Torah, in Israel being exiled in the nations, brings desecration to the name of the God of Israel. And so then when Jacob is redeemed, the God of Israel is glorified. Isaiah 44, verse 23. "Sing, O you heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel." So that's the association. When he redeems Jacob, that's when he gets glorified. He glorifies himself in Israel. So this is why Yeshua prayed in John 17:21 that they may all be one, that the world will know that you have sent me, in John chapter 17, verse 23. So the Messiah is glorified in and through his people when, specifically, he redeems his people. Isaiah 49 and verse 3, "And said unto me, You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." And so when Messiah is glorified, his people are glorified with him when he redeems them. John 17, 22, "In the glory which you gave me, I have given them." And so when did Yeshua receive glory from his Father? After he died on the tree, when he was resurrected, and being resurrected, he sat on the right hand of the throne of God on high. And through doing the will of God and being resurrected, he was raised to glory. And so the glory that he received, he's now given to his people. So when's his people going to receive glory? Well, when they're no longer into captivity, because captivity is likened unto his people being a people full of dry bones, Ezekiel chapter 37. But the end of their captivity is likened to resurrection from the dead. And so Ezekiel in chapter 37, verse 12, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." So if you're coming up out of your graves, that's resurrection. So Yeshua was glorified when he was resurrected, and so his people are going to be glorified when they're resurrected. And the end of the exile is likened to the resurrection of his people, because being scattered in the nations of the world where their enemies are ruling over them, that's like a prison. That's like a grave. And so when the Messiah gathers and unites his people, that's when they will realize who he is. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 13, "And you will know that I am the Lord when I have done this." So the gathering uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel is likened to a marriage and the joy of a marriage. In Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be," and it says in Hebrew, "a chuppah." So the gathering uniting the 12 tribes of Israel is when Messiah is going to marry his bride. It's associated with joy and singing and dance, and that's what a wedding is associated associated with joy and singing and dance. So we can see this connection in Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. So we're talking about he that scattered will gather. Well, the one that gathers is doing so as a shepherd. Yeshua said he's the good shepherd, John chapter 10, verses 11 and verse 14. But he's also the one who scattered them. And he scattered them because he gave the Torah to his people at Mount Sinai, and they broke the covenant. So it goes on to say in Jeremiah 31, verse 11, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob. And then it says in verse 13, then will the virgin rejoice in the dance. And so the redemption of Jacob is like the virgin rejoicing in the dance, or marriage, and the joy of a marriage. We can see this in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 7. I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and I will build them as at the first. Verse 10, thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, even in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. Verse 11, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. So that's wedding talk. So what's being linked with the wedding talk? I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, says the Lord. So the gathering, uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel is likened to a wedding and the joy of a wedding. And then the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel is thematically associated with the festival of Sukkot. And so in Leviticus in chapter 23, in the instructions for keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 39, it says, and in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. And then it goes on to say in verse 42, you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord their God. And so when he brought them out of Egypt at Passover season, when they were in the wilderness, they dwelt in tents. Well, the Feast of Tabernacles is called the Festival of Booths, the Festival of Tents. And so the reason, or one of the reasons why you're supposed to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, is you're supposed to, in doing so, remember the historical Egyptian redemption. Well, why is Tabernacles, when the people came out of Passover, why is that a festival that remembers the historical Egyptian redemption? Because this is a principle that the greater Exodus is going to be thematically associated with Sukkot. Because when Yeshua gathers his people from the nations of the world where they've been scattered, he leads them by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. When they are led by the 144,000, that's the Moses people, they're the leaders in the camp, that just as he led them to the promised land and they dwelt in tents, even so, when Yeshua gathers his people from the nations and brings them back to the land of Israel, during that 3.5 year period, they're going to be wandering in the wilderness in the nations of the world. And in doing so, his people are going to be living in tents. But he is going to be their protector and their shield from their enemies and even from the beast and the beast system. And this is why those who Yeshua redeems during the great tribulation, that they, as we're told in Revelation chapter 15 in verses 2 and 3, they get the victory over the beast, over his mark, over his image, and over the number of his name. And since redemption is likened to a song and singing and rejoicing and marriage and the joy of a marriage, they sing the song of Moses. That's what the children of Israel did when they were delivered from Pharaoh in Egypt in Exodus chapter 15. And that foreshadows the redemptive work of the Messiah and his redemption of his people, likewise, is likened unto a song.
Well, that's going to conclude part 20 of the series on the subject, the principles of the greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua, the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.